إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده في ذاته ووحده في صفاته، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا، فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة في الدين بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. عباد الله، اتقوا الله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة البقرة بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله، ومن أصدق من الله قيلا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Brothers and sisters, we have passed the middle of Ramadan, and right in the middle of ayat of As-Siyam, you find this ayah I opened up with. As you know, this one place in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, is the only place where you find everything you need to know about fasting the month of Ramadan. Its objective, its wisdom, the rulings, everything. And right in the middle of those ayat, beginning with يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, all the way until يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ. So in this ruku' you find right in the middle of it this very important ayah that seems to have no relevance to the subject of siyam, but it does. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, when my humble slaves ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, concerning me, tell them, inni qareebun ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an. Tell them, I am very near, I am very close to them, and I will respond to those who call on me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, then let them answer me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, so they may be guided. So now, what is the relevance of this ayah that apparently it seems to be disconnected with the subject of siyam? Actually, it is not disconnected at all. Ramadan, as we know it, is the month of many things. The month of As-Siyam, of course, the month of Al-Qur'an, the month of charity, the month of Muasat and compassion, and so on and so forth, the month of patience, as the Prophet would call it. In addition to all these, Ramadan is the month of Ad-Du'a. This is the month where we supplicate. This is the month where we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than any other time consciously, because we are taught, particularly in Laylatul Qadr, in and around or before, we are taught to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma annaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are the one who pardons, you love to pardon, so therefore pardon me, forgive me. So this is where we, during that month, return or turn toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating, calling on Him for our needs. Now, very quickly, regarding the background of this ayah, Anas radiallahu anhu said, a Bedouin asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where is our Lord? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فِي السَّمَاءِ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ ثُمَّ تَلَىٰ الرَّحْمَانُ عَلَىٰ الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَىٰ. The Messenger of Allah said, He is in the heavens on His throne. And then the Prophet recited the ayah, Ar-Rahman from Surah Taha, Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful, have mounted Himself on the throne. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my humble slaves ask you concerning me, yes, He is everywhere. As a matter of fact, we do have one ayah in the Quran, هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. And similarly, He is very close to you. In other words, you don't have to yell from the top of your lungs because of the distance between us and Him to call on Him, as some of the Sahaba had suggested to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, if He's there, should we then yell from the top of our lungs calling on Him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, He says, I'm very close to you. You call on me, I hear you, I see you, I know what you need, and I will respond to you. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I will respond to their call, provided that they call on me, calling on Him alone. إِذَا دَعَانِي. Now what is الدُّعَاء? الدُّعَاء is الطَّلَب, المَدَد, المَعُونَة, المُسَاعَدَة. All these is du'a, is to ask for help. All of these various meanings of asking apply to الدُّعَاء. الْإِسْتِجَابَةُ مُعَلَّقَةٌ عَلَى الطَّلَب. Responding to something or someone is dependent on asking. If you don't ask, you're not going to get what you want. It's plain logic. So if you need something, you have to ask for it. And in our case, as Muslims, as believers, it doesn't matter what it is we need, whether it is for something dunyawi, belongs to the material world, or akhrawi, or something that belongs to the next world, we will still call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So responding to something is really connected with asking. And one will not respond unless one asks. Thus the importance of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one may ask for either things that pertain to this material world or things that are relevant to the next world. Now, regarding this material world, I want to make sure that we understand. As a matter of fact, one may ask anyone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any need of his or her. You need a job, you can go and ask people for a job. You need a wife, you can go and ask for a wife. You need a husband, you can go and ask for a husband. As a matter of fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if you need shoelaces, you go ask for them, but before you ask the people for that, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not haram. As a matter of fact, you have to. How are you going to get what you need? But here's the key. Before you go out and asking people about your needs, Your first stop is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask of Allah and then He will, based on your sincerity, of course, and your genuine need and genuine asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will definitely give you the tawfiq and make things easy for you. However, if one asks anyone about anything regarding the unseen, whether it be regarding his fortune or future, anything that pertains to alam al-ghayb, then it is shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is not acceptable, because no one knows about the ghaybiyat, about the unseen, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we are taught salatul istikhara. What is salatul istikhara? Salatul istikhara is to seek goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about matters of the ghayb, about matters that you don't know about matters that are to come in the future. This is why salatul istikhara begins with Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astaqdiruka biqudratika wa as'aluka min fadlika al-'azim fa innaka ta'lamu wa la a'lam wa anta 'allamul ghuyub. See, here you are telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking goodness from Him and telling Him, you know, I don't know, and you are the knower of the unseen. So for anything that is relevant to the future, whether future here in this world or future after we die in the next world, we only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is important to keep in mind. Now, regarding dua for the akhirah, one may ask Allah to grant him or her Jannah, of course, Firdaus, and that's what the Prophet taught us. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Firdaus. You may ask Allah for you to be united with your family and loved ones in paradise, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so on and so forth. Actually, dua is a form of ibadah. Dua is a form of ibadah. لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, الدعاء هو العبادة. Dua is ibadah, is an act of worship. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recited the ayah from Surah Ghafir, وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. And your Lord said, call on me, I will respond to you. I will respond to you. Similar to the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Similarly, you find, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call on me, I will respond to you. Those who are too haughty, too proud to call on me, they think themselves above God and don't want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are too arrogant, عَنْ عِبَادَتِي, from asking me. Now this word ibadah here is referring to the dua. And that's why the Prophet said, الدُّعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ, because that's how it appears in this ayah. It is ibadah. It is an act of worship. Those who are too arrogant to call on Allah, they will enter Jahannam humiliated. Regarding the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَدْعُ بِدَعْوَةٍ لَيْسَ فِيهَا إِثْمٌ وَلَا قَطِيعَةُ رَحْمٍ إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا إِحْدَى ثَلَاثٍ. No Muslim calls unto Allah by anything, any call, in which there is no sin in it, nor are you disconnected with your relations. وَلَا قَطِيعَةُ رَحْمٍ. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond in one of three ways. إِمَّا أَن تُعَجَّلَ لَهُ دَعْوَتُهُ. Either his da'wah, his call, will be answered immediately. You will get it. Or وَإِمَّا أَن يَدَّخِرَ لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. If you don't get it, does that mean Allah did not respond to you? No. A mu'min who calls on Allah and does not get what he wants, According to this hadith, Allah has saved it for him in the Akhirah. He will get it there. And that's only a mu'min can believe in that. Or number three, وَإِمَّا يَصْرُفَ عَنْهُ مِنَ السُّوءِ مِثْلَهَا. Or it is possible that Allah had diverted away from you some calamity that would have been befallen upon you without you even knowing. So in one of these three ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. So, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. When they ask you concerning me, tell them, I'm very near. I can hear them and I will respond to them. Now comes the other part of the ayah, which is most profound. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. Just as you expected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer your needs and your dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us, believers, Muslims, to answer His call. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So therefore, let them respond to me. It's a two-way street, brothers and sisters. You can't just keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're turning your back away from Him. This is not right. This is nifaq. You want from Him, but when it comes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking you to do something, you say, no. It's okay. You can't do that. If you want Allah to help you, help Him, help His cause. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. Let them respond to me. And then Mujahid, رضي الله عنه, he said, regarding among so many other ulama, Ibn Abbas and others among the Sahaba and those who have interpreted the Quran, this is their ta'wil regarding the word فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. What does it mean? فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا, let them respond to me. According to Mujahid, قَالَ فَلْيَطِيعُوا لِي. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. فَلْيَطِيعُوا لِي. Let them obey me. That's what it means. When Allah is saying to you, respond to me, what does it mean? Allah does not need us. Allah is not in need of anything. Allah does not need our help. He wants to see that His ibad, whom He created with their own free will, who have submitted and given up their will for the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they obey Him and none else. Obey Him and obey His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Any obedience under this obedience is allowed, except where one obeys something that results in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, the question is, if I were to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like I said in the beginning of the khutbah, there cannot be an istijaba without some talab, some asking for something. So now if I want to respond to Allah, I need to find out, what does Allah want from me? It just makes perfect sense. What does Allah want from me? How can I respond to you, O Allah? You're asking me to respond. Well, I want to respond. How can I respond? What do you ask of me? Now for that, you need to read the entire Quran to know what He wants. And if you don't have time to read the whole entire Quran, just go over the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls on you, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, or Ya ayyuha nas, because this is a direct address to us. We are part of humanity, and Allah calls in the Quran, Ya ayyuha nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O mankind, first address in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah to humanity, calling to obedience. O mankind, u'budu rabbakum, worship and obey your Lord, the one who created you and those who came before you, so you may be saved from the hellfire. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Okay, alhamdulillah. We are Muslims. We are believers. Now, What else does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need from us? Now we need to pay attention to the ayat of Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. And you know Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wa ardah said, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh people, Ya ayyuha nas, or Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, he makes a point, and a very important point. He says, you better listen, and listen attentively, because he is talking to you. He wants something from you. He wants something from you. So you better listen attentively. And you find 20 times in the Quran, Allah is addressing Ya ayyuhan nas. And 89 times, Allah is addressing us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. Now I'm going to take you to one section, one place where Allah addressed us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kind of summarizes everything else. If we understand that part, then inshallah we will be able to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Ali Imran. Ayah number 102, 103, and 104. These three ayat are extremely important. Allah is calling on us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. First thing. Have taqwa of Allah, O you who believe. Have regards to Allah. Be mindful of Allah. Be conscious of your Creator. Be dutiful to your Creator, to your Master. Think of Him, حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, as is His due. His right is to be remembered if you consider Him to be your Master 24 hours. If you consider yourself as His humble slave, a slave cannot be unmindful of his Master. So therefore, the first thing we need to do individually is to make sure that we are honoring our Master. We are honoring our Master through, first and foremost, worship. Worship, salah, sawm, zakah, hajj, basic modes of worship. Above and beyond that, absolute obedience to His commandments. Except where I physically can't, or I, for some reason due to some human weakness in me, I can't. I know as a believer, know how to go around it and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me because I'm His humble slave. And I tell Him every time I pray, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. I worship You. I'm Your slave. You are My Master. I worship You. And at the same time, I tell Him, I assure Him that whenever I cannot do that, I will come to You, isti'ana billah. I will come to You seeking help from You. So a real mu'min knows that if I have a problem with any of the Quranic injunctions or the prophetic injunctions, I know where to go, and I know that my Master will help me eventually obey Him and obey His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And die not except on a state of complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've talked about this subject before in the subject of taqwa. And basically in a nutshell, you have to not only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey Him, remember Him, be conscious of Him in all of your actions and dealings. Once you correct yourself, then the next thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding. This is an imperative. It's not a choice, brothers and sisters. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Come together, all of you, O Muslims, O believers, O muttaqeen. Come together, all of you, and cling unto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cling unto the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. If you cling together, what does that do? It unites us as one ummah. We are one ummah. We are not umam. We are shu'ub. We are peoples. It's okay. We are peoples of different races and different ethnic backgrounds. But what makes us an ummah is when all these peoples, all these races, all these ethnic backgrounds, people that have come from different ethnic backgrounds, come together and cling onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we are an ummah. Then we are an ummah. If we continue to be divided, I say continue meaning we are divided. We are divided. We are divided. Look at our masajid. This is a Pakistani masjid. This is an Egyptian masjid. This is a Bangladeshi masjid. This is I don't know what masjid. This is not right. If we continue to build masajid and institutions based on our racial and ethnic backgrounds, we're going to continue to be doomed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah will not look at us as one united ummah deserves of His help. I want you all to understand that. You put your race and your country above your faith and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shame on you. This is the very thing that was going to take two tribes of this mentality to the hellfire. To the hellfire. I'm not making this up. This is in the Quran. This is the end of this ayah. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Allah said, don't be divided. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And recall the ni'mah, the fadl, the bounty of Allah upon you when you were enemies to one another. The Aws and Khazraj in Medina, they were two tribes who killed each other for nothing, just like us killing each other among our own ethnic background. Bangladeshis among themselves are killing each other. Egyptians among themselves are killing each other. Syrians among themselves are killing each other. What to speak of one race to another race? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, remember my bounty, my favor upon you when you were enemies to one another, and I have made you brothers due to my fadl. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. He brought your hearts together. How did He bring their hearts together? Through the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters. Through the Quran. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Through the Quran, He brought their hearts together. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Again, you became brothers by the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to this. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ. You were on the brink of the pit of the hellfire. In other words, you were going to hell because of your asabiyya, because of your tribalism, because of, I am Bangladeshi, I am Egyptian, I am Syrian, I am Lebanese, I am Pakistani, I am Indonesian, I am whatever the case may be. You were going to hell had I not saved you from it. فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ. In this way, Allah details His signs, His message to you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. So you may be guided. We need that guidance. We cannot afford this nonsense, brothers and sisters. We live in a time where we need each other like anything. We live in a time where we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need Him to change our conditions. Our condition will not change unless we change this mentality of ours and that which is within our hearts, how we feel about one another. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. So this is real. I say that only to remind myself and remind you. While we are in Ramadan, we should think and reflect about that and see what we want to do about it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ثم أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, فليستجيبوا لي, فليستجيبوا لي. Let them respond to me. Allah wants us to work on ourselves individually, become a true pious, become that true humble slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then come together, work together, unite, don't divide, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the third ayah has detailed your task, the real task. We're not created to just fast and pray and give zakah and go for hajj. Those are the means to do the real task. And what is the real task? وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The real task is, let from among you this one ummah, let another ummah rise from within this ummah, an ummah from within the big larger ummah, to call toward what is good and to ordain what is right and what is good and forbid evil. This is our real task. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Ask yourself, what do I want out of Ramadan? What is it am I gaining? Lose weight? Wallahi, you have not fasted. If that's your intention, you have not fasted. As the Prophet said, كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنَ الصِّيَامِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. How often you find fasting persons fast and get nothing out of their fast except hunger. Except hunger. So what is your intention? Why are you fasting? Don't you understand? Don't you recognize that this is a training program for the believers? So that after Ramadan, they can be discharged to do the real task. To get engaged in the community. To go and become active. Evil is everywhere. Evil is chasing us like crazy. Who's going to stand up against it? Who's going to do that? We have a lot of work, without a doubt. And unless we are conscious of our duties and obligations to our Lord, all the siyam, all the salah, all the zakah, all the hajj have gone in vain. In vain, absolutely. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa man rahima rabbi, I have to say that, except those whom Allah is merciful to. But you get the picture. So inshallah ta'ala, I will continue this subject next week bi'idhnillah, while we're still in Ramadan, and see what is this real task Allah wants us to do, and shed more light on that bi'idhnillah ta'ala. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نسألك التقى اللهم إنا نسألك التقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين ومن عبادك المخلصين وتقبل منا صيامنا وركوعنا وقيامنا وجميع صالح أعمالنا إنك أنت خير المتقبلين اللهم تب علينا إنك أنت خير التوابين وارحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وأقم الصلاة يرحمني ويرحمكم الله.